Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, as your wardrobe is full of clothes, you know you're never going to rewear. You could be sitting on an opportunity to turn your rags into riches, because reselling websites are now connecting thrifty buyers with second-hand bargains on websites like Depop and Vinted. But is it really a sustainable choice? Well, here to tell us more is Adam Maguire from our business desk. Hello, Adam.
How are you?
Very well. Second-hand clothes shopping is not new.
No.
We say that from the get-go.
Yeah.
It's how people are doing it that has changed.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. You know, like, you know, we have second-hand, vintage, pre-owned, pre-loved. You know, it's been around a long time. You know, the Salvation Army opened its first charity shop, which was offering more affordable items, including clothing, back in the 1870s. So, you know, you can go at least as far back as that. And we've long had vintage shops, which, you know, you could probably see as the more kind of curated version of secondhand shopping than a charity shop. But, you know, I remember getting a fair few pairs of baggy jeans out of the Eager Beaver in Temple Bar.
That's right.
You
yeah, know, we all went there after college.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's a chicken shop place there.
Is it?
I don't know. You know, there was the army surplus shops on Capel Street, which I think are still there as well, selling your combats and all that. But, you know, they were always kind of niche, maybe had a bit of a negative association as well. You know, you went to the vintage shops if you were looking for a particular type of clothing. People went to charity shops. At least the stereotype was they're older people, maybe poorer people as well. It wasn't the fashionable thing or something that well-to-do people did until quite recently. Anyway.
So when did it change?
Yeah, it's really hard to narrow it down because, you know, there's probably not an exact moment or an event. I was thinking back to the Macklemore song, Thrift Shop, which to my horror, I realised came out nearly 13 years ago this year.
It's all catching up with you, Adam.
Yes, it's been a long 13 years. But that was kind of playing on the trend of people going to charity shops to get a bargain and to get a great, you know, fashionable mm-hmm. item. But of course, it was reflecting the trend. It didn't set the trend. So you could probably go a few years earlier again, maybe kind of stemming to the aftermath of the financial crash when, you know, people, particularly younger people who, of course, are the trendsetters and these kinds of things, were trying to find ways of expressing themselves without breaking the bank. And it's no coincidence that secondhand shopping, the trend is very much being led now by millennials and Gen Zers. So people from their teens up to their late 30s, early 40s. One survey I saw suggests that 2/3 of people in those age brackets bought at least one secondhand item of clothing in the past year. So mm-hmm. they're big into it.
So we don't know when it became a trend exactly. Can we say why though?
Well, I, you know, far be it from me to be the one to explain fashion trends, but I suppose there's some obvious enough factors at play. You know, you're looking at a point in time over the past decade or so, you know, post-financial crash, then leading through to the current cost of living crisis when people, and particularly younger people, are really being squeezed financially. It's also, you know, the era of precarious employment, zero-hour contracts and so on, which, you know, makes things even more difficult for people who are maybe starting out in work. But I also think there's kind of more fundamental fashion factors at play here as well. They're not all just practical things like affordability, because we're in the era of fast fashion as well, which has made clothing more accessible to people, even people who don't have a lot of money. They can buy a wide variety of items of clothing if they want. It's incredibly easy to do it as well as cheap. You don't even have to leave your house. You can sit on the couch, get everything you need. But there's kind of a couple of problems that stem from that, because fast fashion clothing tends to look like fast fashion clothing. Like, obviously, it's all patterns and styles and so on. But, you know, because of the fact that they're mass produced, they kind of have a certain look to them, and they often tend to be designed with a certain body type and body shape in mind as well. And that mass produced thing is a problem from a fashion point of view, because it's much harder now to have a kind of a find. You know, you can't find something unique that, mm-hmm. that people are really impressed by. You know, you'll see it now if you go online, a celebrity is spotted wearing something. Within seconds, people have identified where they got it, how much it costs, where you can buy it, the dupe you can get that's a dirt cheap version of it as well. So, you know, you can go out and emulate your you know, music or acting idol or whatever it might be, but so can everybody else. So there's no, you can't be kind of unique. And it really matters from a fashion point of view, because you can't stand out, you can't make a statement about your style, which is kind of the whole idea of fashion, especially when you're trying to be, you know, trendy when you're young as well. But secondhand and vintage is totally different to that, because you have to put the work in, you know, whether it's online or in an actual shop, you have to go and spend time digging through the stuff. You maybe have to have a bit of an eye, maybe a bit of luck as well, to find something nice. And you can be fairly confident then that you're not going to bump into someone else wearing the exact same thing. And even if they want to copy it, they're going to have a hard time. They can't. It's yours. It's unique. It's all about you. So, you know, by buying secondhand and vintage items that you spend time to find and to curate, you're kind of putting out a very different story about yourself than will be the case if you're decked out in mass market or fast fashion brands. And of course, another element which we haven't mentioned is the fact that younger people are more environmentally aware. And buying secondhand is a good way of reducing your carbon footprint. And being a bit cynical about it, buying vintage clothing is a way of telling people that you care about the environment, even if you don't actually really care about it. It makes you look more eco-friendly. And just, a side note to go on the practical side of this, another thing that people have learned about fast fashion is that they tend to be quite poorly made. It's cheap material, maybe not particularly well stitched together and so on. But older items of clothing, especially the ones that are good enough to survive secondhand and third hand selling, tend to be more robust. So you get your money's worth out of your purchase. So it means people know, well, I'm buying quality if I'm buying vintage rather than something fast fashion.
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the secondhand clothes market in general terms, do we have an idea how much it's worth?
Again, hard to put an exact figure on it because it's kind of fairly nebulous. You have lots of small vintage shops and charity shops around Ireland, around the world. Some are selling clothes as well as other secondhand items and vintage items. You then have your online platforms, the likes of Depop and Vinted, as well as, classified websites and Facebook Marketplace and all that kind of stuff. So the estimates put the value of secondhand clothing sales globally last year in the region of $200 to $250 billion, which is a remarkable rise in a very short space of time. As recently as 2022, the market was worth something like $165 billion. Resale specialist ThredUp predicts it'll be worth $350 billion by 2028. So that's if the current trend continues. So remarkable growth over the course of a decade, really. And this is coming at a time when the broader fashion market is either shrinking or staying relatively stable. The result is that we're expecting this year secondhand clothes will make up about 10% of total fashion sales. So it's a growing part of the overall fashion market.
It certainly is, and growing very quickly as well. Depop and Vinted, and people will be familiar with those websites. How popular are they now?
Yeah, hugely, hugely popular. And again, growing in popularity kind of by the day. Depop says that it's somewhere in the region of 35 million users. Vinted is a little bit more coy about its figures, but it's somewhere between 65 and 100 million. Both have actually been around for a long time, even though they've only really come into the kind of mainstream recently. Depop was founded in the UK in 2011. Vinted was founded in Lithuania in 2008, and slowly growing their user base and catalogue since then. They represent billions of dollars of sales of secondhand and vintage clothing because they've really just made it so much easier for people to take an item that they have but they don't want anymore, and rather than dump it or donate it or whatever else they might have done, they can just take a picture, put it up the listing, and it's sold really, really quickly often. In 2023, Vinted turned a profit for the first time ever. It grew that profit then by 330% to nearly 80 million euro last year. So it's kind of showing you how remarkably quickly it's growing in popularity. Okay. The company is now valued at around $5 billion. It's Lithuania's first unicorn, which is a startup with a valuation of a billion or more. I should say things aren't going quite so well for Depop. It was acquired by Etsy back in 2021 for $1.6 billion. A year later, they wrote off $1 billion of the value on that, so suggesting they massively overpaid for it. And a part of that seems to be Vinted is kind of solidifying itself as a leader in this space and maybe taking users away from Depop. But still, though, a lot of people on that platform as well.
And just going back to the environmentally friendly aspect of this, because you might feel like you're doing the right thing by not buying new, but you're still consuming, you're still buying, it still has to make its way to you.
Yeah, there's still a little bit of a debate around how environmentally friendly it is to do this. It's not as clear because it seems, I suppose, it's fair to say it's absolutely better than fast fashion. So that is something. It's an improvement there, a marked improvement. But it's not necessarily unequivocally good. As you say, I was talking to someone in the charity shop sector recently, and they were saying that, the problem with Depop and Vinted is that it is reselling, but it's still consumption. It's encouraging people to buy items. And really the biggest thing you can do from an environmental point of view is reduce your consumption altogether. So don't buy things you don't need to buy, basically.
But if you're buying from the charity shops, you're still buying as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I suppose maybe the difference is that you if you're buying on Vinted, you have all these packages being shipped and you have to factor in the carbon footprint of the shipping costs and all that. And there's a lot of people who are, well, the idea is that it's, I have an item I don't need anymore, I sell it on. But a lot of people now are using it as a business. They're going out and buying items that they can sell at a markup on Vinted, on Depop, and make a profit of it. And either as a little kind of side hustle, or as some people are actually making it their main income. And, again, good for them. They're making a living off it. But from a sustainability point of view, they're feeding into this machine of buying and selling and shipping goods around that aren't necessarily needed.
It's defeating that purpose of it, isn't it?
It is a bit, yeah. And the likes of Vinted will, Depop will say, oh no, well, we want it to be for people get, you know, to pass on the things they have already. But they're also not going to discourage that, because they're going to obviously earn money from transaction fees and so on from those kinds of things. You know, I suppose the idea is if consumers are generally, you know, if they're focused on acquiring new items on a regular basis rather than just what they need, you know, they're not necessarily cutting off the supply of waste. Eventually, this they have stuff they buy too much of, they get rid of it, eventually will end up in landfill. So the idea is to kind of cut
reduce
your consumption altogether.
What you're buying.
Reduce full stop. General. Yeah, that's the best thing you can do.
There's another consequence of this that people mightn't have thought about as well if they're selling a lot of stuff on these websites.
Yeah.
Tax.
Tax man, yeah. It's hard as it might be to believe, anything you sell really anywhere, especially on the likes of Vinted or Depop, it's technically income, so you're liable to pay tax on it. So even if you're only making a couple of euro from the odd top or dress or whatever it is that you don't have anymore, you're supposed to be letting revenue know about that and probably handing over some of what you made on these platforms in the form of tax. Mm. Now, you know, I'm not going to suggest that people should or shouldn't do that, but realistically, if you're selling the odd top here and there, revenue probably doesn't care that much or certainly isn't going to notice. But obviously, for some people who might be doing it on a bigger scale where they're actively making a little side hustle or business out of it, they very much could be exposing themselves to a hefty tax bill
might
if they get caught.
Might need to go and
caught.
Have a chat with the tax man if that's what you're doing on a regular basis.
It might be quite the little earner you thought it was.
Adam, thank you so much. Adam Maguire there. We're going to be back after this.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.